And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid with Green with Evil Week? Question mark, if I've scheduled this correctly. We're going to be doing parts 3 and 4 of Green with Evil, and joining me once again is the Yellow Ranger himself, Mr. Brian Massey.
Hey everybody, what's going on?
Who is like waving at me because anyone can actually see him waving.
Oh, shut up.
So we're back for another episode of Green with Evil. So let's actually just hop right into it.
All right.
With everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through of Green with Evil, part 3 and part 4, starting with The Rescue, which we start up at Rita's palace, and Goldar has Jason right where he wants him. But Jason is able to hide in the smoke that is covering the floor in the palace. And now Rita summons Scorpina. Oh, sweet, sweet Scorpina. She's so dreamy. And damn, that was a close call for Jason, but he's still not faring very well against Goldar. Kim's looking for Jason at the juice bar and suckers Bulk and Skull to kiss each other. She sees Tommy, and he acts like a total dick to Kim. As Zach and Kim approach Tommy, they get attacked by putties. Now back at Rita's palace, Tommy stops Goldar so he can end Jason. A nice fight. Sorry, Jason. But you get your Morpher back, kind of. Tommy summons the Sword of Darkness, but Billy saves Jason just in time. And Goldar scolds Tommy. Jason tells the others about what happened to him, and the Rangers morph into action to take on Scorpina. Scorpina and Goldar bicker as to who should fight the Rangers. Meanwhile, Tommy trains. Back at the command center, they continue to try to get Zordon back, but Rita makes Goldar grow, which now brings us to part 4, Eclipsing Megazord. At the command center, the Rangers are watching Goldar destroy Angel Grove. They morph. Well, they tried. They had a power surge. You know, these things happen. You gotta have a power surge every once in a while. Rita explains her plan to eclipse the sun to shut down the Megazord. Drayson growing impatient, but Billy to save the day. The Rangers now are able to morph into action, and they dispatch some putties, then take on the oh-so-lovely, oh-so-amazing Scorpina. Meanwhile, Alpha is working on getting Zordon back. And then at the youth center, it is being evacuated due to the damage done by Goldar. And Bulk and Skull get into a bus. But back at the command center, Kami strikes again. However, we're back to Goldar, and he grabs the bus that Skull is actually driving. Tommy works on getting rid of Zordon once and for all. Squat Babu and the putties work on pushing the bus off the cliff. The Rangers in a real predicament here, and however, back at the command center, Alpha captures Tommy, and then back with the Rangers, they summon their Zords and form the Megazord just in time to save Bulk and Skull. Try saying that a lot fast. The eclipse is forming, and Rita makes Scorpina grow, and the Megazord starts shutting down. Jason calls for the Power Sword for some extra juice. However, Tommy escapes, and then Rita makes him grow. And Tommy is just wrecking the Megazord at this point now. And the triple team is too much for the Rangers. The Zords are destroyed by Rita. And then back at the command center, the Rangers are feeling defeated. Jason is still trying to be positive. Alpha says he may have the identity of the Green Ranger. And it's Tommy that's revealed as the Green Ranger on the viewing globe. Dot.
Oh no, I wonder what's going to happen.
And Green with Evil part 3 clocked in at 19 minutes 7 seconds, and part 4 was 20 minutes and 17 seconds.
Nice.
All right, Brian, take it away.
All right. So, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Episode 19, Green with Evil part 3, original air date was October 7th, 1993. The Super Sentai Counterpart episode was, of course, Kyoto Sentai Geo Ranger episode 19, Female Warrior Scorpion. Original air date was July 3rd, 1992. So next day was 4th of July. Errors. In part 3, Goldar tells Rita that Kimberly might suspect something, even though he was fighting Jason in the Dark Dimension at the time, which I thought was kind of weird. In part three, when Babu says of Scorpina, "Do me a favor and keep her stinger away from me," his voice sounds slightly different. Possibly this is somebody else dubbing a line that Dave Mallow wasn't able to record for some reason. And also in part three, when the Rangers are watching Scorpina attack the warehouse in the viewing globe, the unmorphed Rangers are in fact Geo Rangers getting blasted. We start with Jason rolling around on the ground, avoiding Goldar's sword from stabbing him in the fleshy bits. Meanwhile, we get our first introduction to Lammy, or Scorpina, who's currently in a boulder shape rolling through a forest with giant mushrooms. Japan! The other four Rangers manage to get the communicators back online, and they kind of go back and forth to the juice bar and the command center. Kim goes in talking to Ernie, who says that he hasn't seen Jason in a while. Bulk and Skull then butt in, saying that they can help, and they work for cheap. They only want kisses. Ugh. Kim then tricks Skull into kissing Bulk on the cheek, and they're both grossed out by it. How progressive. A boy kissed another boy. Oh, no. Tommy bumps into Kim, who tells her that Jason never showed up, and says it with his lying liar pants on. Zach says hi, only for Tommy to give him a dismissive look. What a jerk. So Goldar, meanwhile, is still fighting Jason, who puts up a good fight, but manages to get pinned on the ground again, only for the Green Ranger to be sent to the Dark Dimension. Green Ranger and Jason, who is still unmorphed, fight. Tommy makes quick work of Jason and summons a sword of darkness, and then proceeds to monologue. He monologues through the commercial break. He just monologues. And then when Jason finally gets teleported back to the command center, he's all, you know, butthurt. And I'm like, dude, you had plenty of time to kill him. Jason managed to find his morpher, was unable to morph before Green Ranger stopped him, and then went, what, you know, in the longest, like, nick of time I've ever seen in a TV show, you know, the day is saved. Even Goldar comments, he's like, you had plenty of time to dispatch him and you didn't, which, pot kettle, dude, you had plenty of time to kill him as well. But, I mean, he just stands there and he's just like, all right, let's do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill you. And then, like, he, you know, gets morphed out of the Dark Dimension, and he's acting all surprised. And I'm like, dude, you could have just, you know, just like that, like, whatever. So Goldar then shows up alongside Scorpina in Rita's palace, where Rita is planning her next attack, and Jason, freshly arrived at the command center, begins filling in the rest of the Rangers. He mentions that it started when he was talking with Tommy at school, which everyone then tells him was not the story that they got, and I began then waiting for them to finally put two and two together that sums up with Tommy. Never happens, by the way. Zordon keeps showing up and not showing up. Goldar sent down, and the Rangers go back into action. Goldar is destroying Angel Grove, and the Rangers, noticing that Rita keeps sending monsters down only to have them retreat, say that it could be a trap, which, duh. Meanwhile, Rita's preparing a spell to make an eclipse happen that will depower the Megazord, which I'm not entirely certain how that happens. What's the worst that could happen, though? You know, like, I keep tempting fate here. This definitely feels like a filler episode, but it's not a bad one. You know, Green Ranger's still doing punches and spin kicks in the Dark Dimension, waiting there as punishment for monologuing too long and not killing Jason. You know, this whole thing would be so much easier if Zordon were able to talk for like 2 seconds and let the Rangers know what was actually going on. I found it weird that Scorpina in her first fight was almost immediately called back. You know, I was trying to pay attention, but even I had whiplash at how fast she was once fighting the Rangers, only to be back up on the moon with Rita. Like, what's going on there? But that's the end of my notes for Green with Evil Part 3. Let's get into Part 4.
All right, Part 4. All right. Sock it to me, baby.
All right. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Episode 20, Green with Evil Part 4, originally aired October 8th, 1993. Super Sentai counterpart episode was Kyoto Sentai Geo Ranger Episode 20, Daijujin's Last Day. That's the Megazord, by the way. Original air date was July 10th, 1992. And we have errors for this episode. In Part 4, when Goldar picks up the bus is driving on the left side rather than on the right side, Japan. That's what I'm going to start saying whenever, like, oh, the footage doesn't match up.
Japan. Hold on now. Remember the dialogue between Bulk and Skull?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I never I never learned how to drive, so I guess
yeah,
that's kind of smart.
I yeah, that. So it's like, yeah, it's when you look at it from that perspective.
I'll give them to that. Yeah. It's like, okay, I had to have that just a little bit explained to me like you just did, but okay, fine. I'll give them that. In part four, despite having to be on the scene for quite a while, or having been on the scene for quite a while, the Rangers wait until the last second to summon their Zords, even though there was really no hindrance that could prevent them from doing so earlier. In part four, the falling bus went through a near instantaneous stop when it was caught by the Megazord, which would have almost certainly killed Bulk and Skull. We'll get into that. And part four, the chest guard in the Ranger outfit is noticeably different during scenes taking place in the command center. The most noticeable difference is when the front of the guard coming from the shoulders lines up with the diamond in the center. For all you cosplayers out there. Now, onto the main notes. The episode begins with the Rangers looking at the viewing globe, showing Goldar destroying downtown Angel Grove, sorry. The Rangers try to morph and fight, but apparently there's a power surge running through the grid. Whatever's happening with the computers while trying to locate the dimensional coordinates of Zordon is interfering with the Ranger's ability to morph. So even though Tommy is Rita's Green Ranger, he had to be connected to the morphing grid in order to wind up at the command center in the first place, right? So then why doesn't this affect him? Why does he remain morphed while the other Rangers aren't able to do so? And yes, I know he's Rita's Green Ranger, but still, like, you figure that he's running off of the morphing grid energy. He would probably have some problems too. You know.
That's well, maybe it's because it's disconnected from the grid because of Rita's magic.
That could be it. I'll accept that. So Billy then uses the power of science and nerd to basically rewire the command center's main computer, which somehow gets the grid back online and allows the Rangers to morph. They then descend onto the scene where Goldar is stomping around and are met by Putties, and then Scorpina, and ultimately Rita. Once they leave, Tommy shows up again and sneaks up on Alpha, pulling his plug quite literally. He then tries to depower Zordon permanently, but gets trapped by Alpha, who has an ace up his sleeve. You know, and now at this point, Tommy is currently trapped in the command center. Goldar, meanwhile, is causing yet another earthquake, which affects the youth center / juice bar, which is, like, I want to say the second time that this has happened in Ranger history already, but I think this might actually be the third. I can't remember. Ernie tells everyone to evacuate due to the building collapsing, and we get this really funny moment where Skull tries to leave, and Bulk tells him to sit back down because he hasn't been finished with his ice cream. It's about that time that part of a support beam crashes onto the counter, which doesn't crush it. And Bulk then decides it's time to leave. Bulk and Skull steal a bus. Why? And try to get out of town. Skull, without a license or any training, is driving a 2-ton bus away from Goldar. This is perfectly safe. We then see the bus is Japanese footage as it drives past Tokyo Bay, and Goldar picks up the bus. Which is also why the footage shows it on the wrong side, even though, you know, Skull doesn't have a license.
He's never driven before.
Yeah. And somehow he can work all the, you know, clutches and gears of a bus. And with that wide turning radius. Okay. Here's what I don't get. Goldar says, "These are your friends, right, Rangers?" He name drops Bulk and Skull, and somehow they don't realize who the Power Rangers are then and there. There's only one 5-member group that they constantly associate with, and it ain't the Backstreet Boys, so tell me why. Okay.
That's good. Even though it predates the Backstreet Boys, that is good.
Thank you. The Rangers then go to the beach where Rita tells Goldar to take the bus because I guess the footage wasn't matching up right and they had to change locations. And the bus, now visibly a Japanese Nissan passenger bus, is hanging off of a cliff precariously where Babu Squat and some putties are threatening to push it off. It's only now that the Rangers summon the Megazord, which you could have saved so much time had you just done this already, guys. Like, you should have, you know. The bus immediately falls and the Megazord saves it. But man, if the physics were real, they would have been new Bulk and Skull windshield jelly. Buy it today. I couldn't help myself. I needed to see what the bus was doing in the Japanese version. And I'm sorry, I had to. And so I pulled from the Ranger Wiki that Gryphosaur slams his sword down as Geki tries to resist her urges as she states that they'll be forced to summon the giant, telling Gryphosaur to go after a bus for the Wakasa kindergarten, picking it up, making the children scream as he shakes the bus. And so basically it's a kindergartner bus, right? So Bandora, once again, really hates children in that series. Totally was about to kill a bunch of kindergartners, and I cannot wait for the day we get to review Zero Interest in its entirety, because Bulk and Skull children, like, it's somehow more evil in Japan, even though I don't know. Meanwhile, back on Power Rangers, Bulk and Skull are alive, if not shaken up after almost dying, which that'll do it to you. Megazord begins fighting a giant-sized Goldar Scorpina, who looks ugly as sin when she's fully grown. We find out here that Megazord is solar-powered, so bonus points on going green, guys? Wait, hold on, don't go green. That's what's causing all this in the first place, don't go green. The solar eclipse is draining the Megazord, and my first thought was, they don't have power reserves? Like, what about when they fought underwater? Like, how did they not run out of energy then? But thankfully, the power sword can give them a boost of power. Look, none of this makes sense from an academic viewpoint. The rules about how the Megazord is powered up or not powered up are pretty loose and don't really add up much anyways. They lost like 50% of power in no time, but you guys had to have a power backup in the Zords, right? Like, there had to be something powering it. I guess it was the power sword. Back at the command center, Green Ranger made Zordon go bye-bye before being trapped, and Alpha is trying desperately to get him back. Green Ranger keeps chiding Alpha, telling him that his attempts are futile. Alpha then says, it's time to see who's behind the mask. Like Jinkies, Alpha, it's old man Witherby. Reader calls Green Ranger back, makes him grow, and we get Green Ranger. Green Ranger, Scorpina, and Goldar versus Megazord. This footage is awesome. Also, it's really useful for anyone trying to build their own life-size Megazord costume. You can really get a sense of scale here, which is kind of invaluable, but it's not important to the episode. I just think it's a really nice thing. If anybody's listening and they want to build their own Megazord costume and you want to see how it should be proportionate to like a human body, watch this episode.
You heard the man. Watch episode part 4.
Yep. Scorpina stings the Megazord right in the face, and then Goldar and Green Ranger both zap the Megazord with a power blast. A crater opens, the Rangers are depowered, and the Megazord falls into lava, only for the Zords to individually fall in afterwards. Like, I get what the footage symbolizes, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but what are you going to do? The Rangers then sit in the command center defeated, believing that Rita has won, which I can kind of believe them. I mean, if the Zords are gone, Zordon's gone, how are they going to fight? You know, there's no Zords, no Zordons. Right now, it's rough to be a Ranger unless you're green.
No Zords or Zordons?
Yeah.
Man, it's a shame when you lose all your Zordons.
All your Zordons. Sorry, we're out of stock.
We ran out of floating heads.
Yeah. There might be one over in the Emerald City, but...
You should head over to Bed Bath Beyond and just go in the Beyond section.
They have plenty of them there.
Yeah. Anyways.
So Alpha won't hear of it and then has a bit of good news to go with all the bad. When Green Ranger was trapped in the command center, it turns out that Alpha ran a bioscan on him and had the computer running a program in the background trying to find a match. Turns out that if you look behind door number 1, we have our answer. It's Tommy. And he's been pixelated.
Womp.
So a lot happened in this episode. This is almost like Empire, you know? It's like the Rangers are on the ropes. Their leader is gone. The bad guys have scored a major victory, and the Zords are missing in action. Mike, what else could go wrong?
I could become the Purple Ranger.
We're not talking about Q Ranger, though.
Oh, damn it. I don't know. What else could go wrong?
I've been tempted to fade all this time, so how bad could things get in episode 5, Mike?
I don't know. No idea. I think it's going to get so bad that the series is going to end and Ben's not going to have a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, part 3 had an IMDb score of an 8.6 and part 4 had an IMDb score of an 8.8. So with that, Brian, where can the dudes and dudettes find you on the social medias?
They can find me on Twitter at Wondering Geek. You can also find me on castwavestudios.com. Be sure to check out Boldly Going Nowhere. It is a weekly podcast that updates, sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, depends on, you know, how we're feeling. Also, be sure to check out my Instagram at Draken22, and be sure to check out one of my other favorite shows that I've done, which is Badcast 66. We have some episodes up right now on castwavestudios.com. Mike, where can we find you on the worldwide woobs?
You can find me in the depths of hell of Twitter at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, and obviously txhthockey.com, and for the show /VFTG. So with that, Brian, take us out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Be sure to grab your power morphers.
And may the power protect you.